Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. And His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. And let me read once again, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. His name is holy. His name is reverent. And He says, for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I look over to verse 19. I've already preached on these. I can't go back and really go into detail there. But it says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves," what? Treasures where? Treasures in heaven. And that's what we're talking about in this particular message. Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is where your heart will be. And He says in verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." Full of revelation, remember? We need revelation knowledge of God's Word. And then He talks about, in verse 23, "If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkened, how great is that darkness?" And look at the next verse. "No man can serve two masters." Talking about one being the system and the other being God. No man can serve the world system and God. They're going to love one and hate the other, or they're going to hate one and love the other. In verse 30, and He's trying to teach us that once we come to the Lord, we've got to learn how to change our operation. How we operate in this life. How we operate in this earth. He says, "Now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So He's talking about where our faith is. Our faith sets, if you will, our life where we can put that trust in God totally and completely. He says, "Don't worry," verse 31, "saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" He said, "For after all these things, that's what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Amazing, isn't it? God knows everything that we need, both in this life and the life to come. Amen. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you."
Glory to God.
Amen. Now the Amplified, I don't know if you get that thing to work long enough, I'll read it to you. Matthew 6:33 out of the Amplified says, "But seek, aim, and strive after first of all His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right." Because there's the world's way of doing things. And then there's God's way. You have to make a choice. Are you going to do it the world's way? Or are you going to do it God's way and be right? And it says, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Now, we've been talking and discussing about living in the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, remember again, it's not something that you can just look at or you can get a sense feel of. It's something that is on the inside of us. When we live in the kingdom of God, we live on a higher plane. We live in a place of extreme. We live in a place where we learn to walk in the Spirit. Because if we walk in the Spirit, the Bible teaches us that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we have to make these transitions. And when we start making these transitions, let me just stop and tell you that the gospel is extreme. It's very extreme. Who would ever thought that somebody would come from heaven and he would come as a man born of a virgin and go and be slaughtered, if you will, on a cross, man-made, and that cross and what he did on it would represent the redemption or the total, if you will, salvation package that you and I can now become children of God once again. Everything that was lost in the fall of man was regained by that cross at Calvary. Now that's extreme if you stop and think about it, but here's the mistake. Now here's why people do not go very far in God. Because they are trying to reason out the Word. They're trying to reason out the Scriptures with their head. And this thing is not going to be figured out with your head. Paul said it this way, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So it's about believing. It's not about reasoning from the mind. We start trying to reason this stuff out, we are not going to figure it out. The Bible says that we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, how does that happen? I don't know. But I have to believe that it does because I've done it and believed it and seen it happen. I don't believe it because I've seen it. I believe it because the Word says it, but I can't tell you how it happens. If I get over in trying to figure out this stuff, and you know, as I said last week, and I start learning to speak to things and use the authority that God has given to me, it looks strange. It looks funny. And so the gospel is extreme. But we have to make sure that we understand we walk on a higher plane, a spiritual plane, when we're walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you some meat today, okay? Is that all right? I mean, I know we got all level and all age in here, but, you know, we've got to get over into some meat here to fully understand the kingdom of God. And I believe you can chew it. I'll try to make it as palatable as possible. Amen. As flavorable and tasteful as I can here. But you gotta understand. If I try to pull down the Word of God to my level of understanding or my reasoning, then I am not going to get the Word to work in my life. I can't say something like, well, it looks like this is not working. What have I just done? I have just pulled it down from the spiritual plane back on the natural plane. And when I do that, then I'm negating the effectiveness of the Word of God to work in and for my life. Now, if you're listening, say amen. So, I cannot allow myself to try to reason this thing and bring it down to the natural sense level. Because that is not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God, Romans chapter 14 says, it's not in meat nor drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, some of you are out there still trying to understand what I'm saying, but this is why you come to church, to get understanding. Amen? So, the gospel is extreme. Revelation comes into play as you allow the Spirit of God to take you into that higher plane or that realm of the spiritual world. Now, the spiritual world is really where you and I have to live if we're going to operate in the kingdom of God principles. Understanding again that the devil does not want us operating on that level or on that plane. That's why he wants to keep the church ignorant. He wants, you know, just to come in here and hear a few, you know, a few fairy tales and some Bible stories. And all those things are good. We've got to learn about the Bible, but we've got to have spiritual understanding. Because we're walking, if we're going to walk in the kingdom of God, we've got to walk in that level where the Word can become a reality to us. In other words, when you climb up there in that realm of the Spirit, this Word is more real to you than any natural thing. In fact, you almost get to the place where you look arrogant. It's not arrogance, but it's confidence in your God that God will do exactly what He said He would do. Sometimes we get to a place where, you know, we just think we're untouchable. And in reality, in the realm of the Spirit, we are. We are. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no germ. I said the devil cannot touch you unless you give him place, unless you allow him to do that. Well, I said we have to begin to change. Now listen. We have to begin to change the way we see ourselves. Most people don't see themselves as God sees them. That's why they go around, they can't smile, they can't hold their head up, they have no esteem at all. Whatever esteem they've got has been steamrolled out of them. Hello? And he said all things have been put under our feet. Where's your feet at? It's right there, right? Everything else is below that. Come on. Well, in the eyes of God, He already sees me seated with Jesus in the heavens. Seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what the book of Ephesians says to us. So God sees me not only as a winner in life, but He sees me already there, already as a victorious person who has overcome everything in this life. Now, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Well, you need to get in the Word of God to begin to see what God says you are. Because you are what God says you are. You're not what the devil says you are. You're not what your mother-in-law, you're not what your relatives say that you are. Amen? Thank God for godly mother-in-laws. Amen? Now look, let me show you something here. Go over to the book of Revelation. See, you have another realm of reality now, and you begin to look at things under a different light. You live in a level where you need to begin to look at yourself differently. Now, here's a great revelation for some of you. You have to see yourself as God sees you. You're not defeated. You're not weak. You're not depressed. All those things are where? They're on the low level. But you've been called to live what? Higher level. Higher level is where the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God now is not where God lives. But it's a realm above the earth. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, now here's a revelation that the Apostle John got on the Isle of Patmos. How many of you ever read anything about John? John was what? The beloved disciple. They tried to kill John, but they didn't succeed. He was exiled on that isle. And by the way, that isle is a great resort today. Not a bad place to be exiled to. But he was boiled in oil. And so I'm sure, he suffered and endured a lot of hardship. But in that, he received a revelation. And that's why we have the book of Revelation, the grand finale here. And here's what it says in the very first chapter. It says, John, let me read verse 4 and 5 to you. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Did you see that? Ruler over the kings of the earth. Can I ask you a question? Who do you think are the kings that he is the ruler over? Somebody say, I am. I didn't know that. Now you do. Say, I'm a king. When the Bible says King of Kings, who's the king that's over, or who's the kings that the king is over? Are you here? We are kings. Now just stop and think about that a moment. He says, who washed us, loved us from our own sins in his own blood, and what? And hath made us kings. Now you see why he spent 40 days talking about the kingdom of God to his disciples? This is what he left us, is so that we could have a revelation reality that we are kings in this earth, in the kingdom of God. Now you got to just stop and meditate on that, because the reason you don't see yourself as kings is because you can't see yourself as a king. Some of you don't even know what kings do. Now, I remember, a month or so ago when the queen came in here, they have proper etiquette. You know that you cannot even look at her and say anything to her until you're spoken to by her. Amen. Amen. If the devil starts looking at you and talking to you, you need to put him in his place. Amen. He's out of proper etiquette. You know, what was funny is that when they sat down to the table to eat, that nobody can start eating first until the queen picks up her and starts eating. And once she is finished, everybody's finished. See, the reason some of y'all, have trouble getting a revelation of who you are, you don't understand these things even in the natural. Now, we got to go. When you get to go to scriptures that relate, well, in fact, just go to the book of Job. Hallelujah. Come on now. Help me out a little bit this morning. Job is right where? Right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 22. When you start getting a revelation of who you are and the scriptures that relate to who you are, listen, it starts getting you excited pretty quick. Now look what happens. Here's what happens. Look at Job chapter 22, verse 28. It says, are you there? Hurry, hurry, hurry. We got a lot to look at now. It says, you will also declare, or if you have the King James, you will decree a thing and it will be established for you. Listen, kings decree things. Kings speak the word and it must obey. Come on, whoever the subjects are must obey. Kings declare a thing and it is done. Now, let me ask you something. Does the king go out and do it himself? No. He speaks the word. Jesus said, hey, the works that I do, he said, it's the Father in me. He's the one that doeth the work. Are you here? See, you got to get a reality of who you are. You are a king, and kings declare things. What do we declare? We declare what God has said. We say what God has said in His Word. You want another one? Go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Where's that at, Pastor? Well, go to Proverbs and just keep going to the right. Amen. Come on, right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. If you found that one, say amen. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the reality of who we are in the kingdom of God. Now, where, look at verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. See, I'm just trying to get you to get an image of yourself, who you are in Christ. We have to get a reality of who we are, because this is not the way the world thinks. But we're not trying to think like the world any longer. Come on, are you listening? So I am not affected or limited by the world system. Once I begin to see who I am in Christ, then I am not tied to or bound to the world system. Now, what Satan wants to do again is to make sure that you don't come to that level where you know who you are and that you cannot take your dominion and your authority to rule and reign in this life as a king. But what you must see is that that is the will of God, because Satan's strategy is to keep you from knowing that. He wants to keep you bound to the system. He wants to keep you bound to the fact that your source is your job, that your source is your paycheck, and as long as he can keep you bound and with no understanding that those things and this world system is your source, then he has limited you and put a boundary on you from tapping in to the unlimited resource that resides in the kingdom of God. Thank you all for all that great enthusiasm. Because it may not be reasonable to the world, but it's very reasonable to God. And so the enemy wants to keep you in the system. He wants to keep you bound to the attitude, well, we can't afford that. Well, you know, we only make this much and this is nothing. As long as he can keep you in that mentality and in that realm, he has got you like a bird in the snare of the fowler. He's got you trapped in the system. But you've got to understand that the job and the paycheck that you receive, or whatever it is in the natural, is not your source. It's only your seed. Now we've got to get a kingdom understanding. We got to get a reality, because again, you know, and I know this is strong, because some of you sitting there going, you know, your brain's up there fixing to freak out on me. But we're not trying to get this into your brain. We're trying to get it in to our hearts, because this is a heart thing. The kingdom of God is not with observation, remember. But it's where? It's within. Now, let's review this. Let's look at this. Some of y'all looking at me very funny. Go with me to the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? As long as the enemy can keep you from tapping into the resources of God, he has got you bound. He has got you limited. All right. Now, over in the book of Genesis, chapter 30, 31. Let me just kind of paraphrase a little bit because of time again. Now, this is the story of Jacob. How many of you ever heard about Jacob in the Bible? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, third down from Abraham. He went to a land to work for his uncle. Jacob's name, I'm sure most of you know, was deceiver, supplanter. He was a master at deception, deceived his own brother out of his birthright. But whenever you, whenever you operate like that, you're always going to meet your match. And so he met Laban. He fell in love with one of the daughters, but Laban deceived him, and on the wedding night, he brought to him the other daughter. Now, he worked for 7 years, everybody say seven, to get the daughter, but he got the wrong daughter. But the marriage was consummated, so the marriage stuck. He had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. And then after he got Rachel, he was working another few years, almost 20 years. In the system. I'm just trying to show you in the system. He was working for someone, and the someone that he was working for there was cheating him, deceiving him, and really playing him. But see, Jacob had favor. When you belong to God, you have favor. Remember? When you belong to God. In fact, in Genesis 31, just look at verse 7. He said, he was telling Rachel, he said, your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. Say that with me. Say, God did not allow him to hurt me. In other words, he was saying, look, every time we are about ready to get ahead, something happens here and brings us back to where we were. You know how that goes. Every time you get ready to get ahead in life, the wash machine won't wash, the car won't start, you kick the cat and have to take it to the vet, your mother-in-law or somebody's calling, they need some money, and so on and so forth, and you never get ahead because somebody's always needing something. So we can relate to that. Amen. But as long as we're on the system, we are not going to get ahead. As long as we're bound and tied, see, to the system, we never have the seed because we're using the seed to live on. And God never intended for you and I to use the seed to live on. He intended for you and I to live by the harvest. As long as we're living on the seed, we are not going to get ahead. Okay. Well, let me show you this. Okay, go back over to chapter 30, and look at verse 26. It says, "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you almost 20 years now." He said, "And let me go. Let me get out of this system. I'm in a rut here. I'm bound to this deceiver here. I'm bound to this cheater." Look what he says. He said, "I've served you. Now let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay. I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." In other words, because of the favor that Jacob had on his life, everything that Jacob did, listen, was blessed in God. Because everything that he put his hands to do prospered. But he wasn't getting the benefit from it. It was all going back to Laban. He said, verse 28, then he said, "Name me your wages." He said, "I'll give it." Jacob said to him, You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. That's what he's telling Laban. That's what Jacob is saying to Laban. He said, and now, when shall I also provide for my own house? So he said, now this is Laban, he said, what shall I give you? There's a pause there. And Jacob answered him and said, nothing. I don't want to get back in your system. Are you listening to me? He said, you shall give me anything, nothing, if you will do this thing for me. In other words, what he was doing is, I'm getting out of your system, Laban, and let's get in another system. But see, it had to be a system that Laban would agree to. How many know the devil is dumb sometimes? It said, now look, here's what he said. He said, and let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep. Everybody say speckled and spotted. And striped. Speckled, spotted, striped. Speckled, spotted, striped. Speckled, spotted, striped. It said, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. In other words, he said, look, I'm getting off of your system, Laban, but here's what I will do. I will stay, and I will continue to bless you if you will allow me to do this. What do you want? Well, let me go into the herds and take all the spotted, speckled, and what was that other word? And Laban said, sure. You know why? Because there weren't very many of them. In fact, they were rare. They didn't happen. He said, sure. I'll let you do that. And you know what happened, don't you? He had wisdom from God. God showed him how to breed the spotted, the spotted, the speckled. And they begin, come on somebody, and they begin to multiply. I said they begin to multiply. You get the last verse there in verse, what is it, 42? It says, and thus the man became exceedingly what? Prosperous. Come on, are you there? And had large flocks, female and servants and camels and donkeys. See, as long as Laban could keep him in that mentality of paycheck, paycheck mentality, hand-to-mouth mentality, then he had him bound. But once he got off of that mentality, once he got off of that, see, the devil doesn't want you to get out of that mentality, because as long as you're bound to that mentality, you're bound to whatever your source will supply. But when you're bound to God, come on, when you belong and operate in the kingdom of God, you're in an uncorruptible, an incorruptible, you're in an indestructible, you're in an unlimited field of resources. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. But you have to be able to make that transfer. And somebody said, well, you know, I got enough for my family. We pay our rent. You selfish thing, you.
That's right.
Yeah, we got enough. We pay our bills and we give an offering. That's just being as selfish can be. God didn't call you just to bless you and bless your family and make sure shoes are on your kids' feet. God has called you to bless the world. God has called you like He called Abraham. He said, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed in all the world. And if anybody curses you, you will be cursed. And then Galatians tells us this way. He says, if you are Abraham's seed, and we are, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, everybody say heirs, of the promise that was given to Abraham. Wow, stop and think about that. I said stop and think about that. Now this is kingdom of God reality, see. Learning that if we can come off of the system and use what we earn as seed and live off of the harvest. See, that's extreme, isn't it? Whoa, because you're sitting there saying, I'm not there yet. No, you're not there yet because you haven't learned how to live that way. You've been strapped to the man. You've been strapped to the paycheck mentality. You've been strapped to, well, this is all I earn, and so that's all I can get. Hey. You've got to get this understanding down. As long as you're living off of your seed, you will never prosper. You will never prosper as long as you're living off of your seed. That's why you're not working for a living. You're working for seed. Now, go back. Oh, man. Let me go back just a second. Back over to Mark chapter 10. Now, we were there, but let me show you. I get more revelation of this when I look at it. Mark chapter 10. If you got it, say, I got it. I got to get this in my understanding, because here's what people will tell you. They'll tell you, hey, they just want your money down there. No. Listen. They'll tell you things like, well, the hundredfold return doesn't work. Well, I got news for them. It does work. God wouldn't have told us it worked if it didn't work. He wouldn't have put it in the New Testament or the Old Testament if it didn't work. You can't tell me that the hundredfold doesn't work because it worked for me. You can't. They'll tell you that the tongues doesn't work, the tongues of the devil. You can't tell me that because I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came from God and I speak with other tongues. You can't tell me what it doesn't say. If it said it, I believed it, I received it, and it belongs to me. It belongs to me. Well, you got to get out of that realm of listening to what people say and what the devil says and what your circumstances say. You are a believer. Amen. And this has got to be believed from the heart. Yeah, it's extreme. That's right. Yeah, the world is out there working for the man. They're working like a dog to get ahead. And they don't mind paying 26% on a credit card, but they would never pay 10% to God. Well, here came this rich young ruler, remember? And by the way, would you note that he was rich? Because, see, there are people that inherit, they come into money, so on and so forth. Not everybody's broke. Not everybody's poor as the church house mouse. Church house mouse in here is not poor. He's very fat. When you see who you are as kings and priests, hey, kings don't go around and putting chicle on the benches. Kings don't go around and mess up the bathrooms and wee-wee all over the place. Then somebody else got to come in there and set in their mess. Are you here? Kings don't destroy their kingdom and their house. Amen. This rich young ruler, remember, he came to Jesus. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said, well, you got to do this and this and this and this and this. Keep these commandments. He said, I've done all that. I've done all that from my youth up. And verse 21 says, what does it say? He said, but one thing. Everybody say one thing. Now look at this. One thing that you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure where? Treasure where? Treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Now note, he was wealthy. But what does the Bible say? Let me read it to you one more time. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break in to steal. But verse 20 out of Matthew again, chapter 7, it says, but lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. And listen to, here's the revelation I got this way as I read. God said, read that again. Read it again till you get what I'm trying to do. It says, but lay up for yourselves. But lay up for yourselves. Lay up for, I said, I got, lay up for yourselves. In other words, it's mine. It belongs to me. And the devil and moth and rust and thieves cannot break in and steal when I put my deposit in my heavenly account. It's mine. Lay up for yourselves. It's your harvest that you are laying up to make a withdrawal from. Nobody can withdraw yours but you. Now, you may not withdraw it, but nobody else can withdraw it either. So what are you saying? I'm saying you got to learn how to make the withdrawal. Hey, I can't go into the bank that you do banking with and say, I want to withdraw $5,000 from Mr. Castillo's savings account. They're going to say, who are you? But you know what else? I can't go in there and say, I want to withdraw $5,000 from my account. Because they're going to say the same thing. Who are you? I'm going to have to show them who I am. There's safety. There's protection. Why? It's to keep thieves from just walking into the bank. Why don't they just lay it up on the shelf like HEB? Are you here? It's to keep thieves from taking it. God has rules too. And as long as we play by the rules, but listen, your harvest is there. Every time you plant a seed, every time you give, if you are led by the Spirit, I said led by the Spirit, every time that you give, you are making a deposit in your heavenly account. You are laying up treasure for yourself. And only you can make the withdrawal. Now, 1 Timothy, oh man, I got 2 minutes. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We read this last week, but see, when you go back and read it, you get more out of it. You get more. You chew it. It's like an all-day sucker. Bless God, it gets better and better and longer and longer. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's in here somewhere. I saw it. There it is. Now, verse 17. Command those. Are you there? Okay, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in what kind of riches? Huh? Uncertain riches. We talked about why they're uncertain last week, but who? In what kind of God? I said, what kind of God? Say, our God is a living God. Our God is living. Our God is a living God. Who gives us what? Richly. Richly. Not poorly, not barely, all just getting by, but richly, all things to enjoy. Now here it is, let them do good, that they may be rich in what? Good works. Have you given anything away this week? I said, have you given anything away this week? Have you planted any seed this week? Ready to what? To give? Willing to share? See, well, God's not doing anything for me. Did you give anything away this week? Did you plant any seed? I gave away a pair of shoes this week. Good ones. Not old ones. Good ones. Willing to share. Storing up. Here it is again. Storing up for. See, God said, go back and read that again. Storing up for themselves. Storing up for yourself. Do you see when you give, you're making a deposit into your heavenly treasure. First Savings of Heavenly Treasure Bank.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Every time.
Thank you, God.
Now, the world don't see that, see?
Right.
They think, oh, well, you're just giving your money away. They're laying up for themselves treasure that's going to fade away. Moth and rust and corruption and all that other stuff. Now, how do we get it? I got 10 seconds to tell you. You want to know? Go to Mark chapter 4. Man. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Lord, 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 have mercy. Let me give you this right quick. How do we get rid of it? Well, you got to sow the word. You got to sow the word. Look what it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, and the kingdom of God is as if a man should what? Scatter seed on the ground. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Now, let me ask you something. Where does the seed go? Well, what does it say? What does it say? Let me ask you this. What makes the seed grow? What makes a seed grow? Well, no. Listen. If I take a seed off of a shelf, I have to put it somewhere in order for it to grow. I have to put it in the soil. First thing is I have to put the seed in the soil. Now, when I put the seed in the soil, what happens? The seed takes on a whole new life. The soil is what? It's the spirit of man or the heart of man. When I sow the word into my heart, what's taking place? The word is taking on a whole nother life, and it begins to search out the deep things of God and brings up into understanding from the wisdom of God. It begins to search and bring revelation, and that I can have understanding to do the word of God. Amen. It starts with a deposit. Y'all didn't get that. Okay. It's got to go into the heart of man. It takes on the life of God, because that is the word. It is wisdom. It's searching out the things of God to bring up to you revelation. Now, when you have revelation, here's the next thing. Are you getting this? The next thing is that the word begins to talk to you. The word, according to Psalms 119, says that the entrance of his word, what? Brings light. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is sharper, it's powerful than a two-edged sword. So the word of God, listen, begins to take control. And then, everybody say, and then the word leads me to my harvest. Because as the word is bringing revelation, it begins to take control as it's speaking to me, and it begins to lead me. Make your deposit here. Go here. Do this. Go down to this company. Go get this client. Do this. Yes. And so the word is taking control of your life, and the word brings you to your harvest. You say, how does that work, Pastor? I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is that the word works, that God in heaven brings down the rain. He brings down the snow. He said, my word shall not return void. Hallelujah. But that it will accomplish the thing that it's sent to do. It will accomplish that which it was sent to do. Stand up on your feet, somebody. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Now, we have to plant the word. And That's good stuff. I mean, I'm proud of God, I'll tell you that, for showing that to me so I could show it to you. So the second step is to lay hold of it by faith. Amen. And when you lay